This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Wow, beautiful day here in the Mile High City. A little cooler temps out there. Kurt Rogers with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage.
What a beautiful day. Fall
a little
seems
Christmas.
A little bit of fall has kind of hit here. You get up in the morning and you're like, oh, you know, maybe I need a jacket. Just a little light jacket on there. It was, what, 38 degrees this morning?
I think it was high 30s.
I'm kind of liking that. It warms up to about 75, 80.
Sure.
And if you live in Colorado, this is our time of season.
I'm telling you.
This is what we like.
We were actually, Victoria and I were in the mountains a little bit in Vail this weekend, and colors are starting to change a little bit and all, and boy, it's beautiful up there.
And that's the shorts, jacket, Colorado attire.
Yep, absolutely. Well, our show is Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500, and we have different guests in at different times, but today we're going to be spending our hour with Kurt and talking about mortgages a little bit. So, first of all, what's looking like right now with just rates and what's going on? And what
there's a lot we'll
customers?
Talk about today, but rates are still staying pretty stable. We'll get into why and what to look for. I don't see much of a change for the rest of the year. There's a lot of naysayers out there. I understand why they do that. But I don't see that that's an issue. There are more homes available, but again, we'll kind of cover that area. What we are seeing is there's not quite as many homes selling for as much over the asking price.
Okay.
So that's kind of slowed down a little bit, but that's really not slowing the market down.
All right.
So it's extremely healthy. There's still lots of people to want to buy a home.
Sure, absolutely. Again, Kurt's number is 720-895-0500. So if you do have any questions, of course, you can give us a call here on the show live, 303-477-5600, or give Kurt a call afterwards. I know you and Dan, initially, I heard just the beginning of the show last week, and you guys were talking about mailers and all. Man, I tell you, you get a lot of those, and you got to read the fine print, don't you?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because over the week I picked up, you know, a half dozen more of them. And I always read and they always come in with these rates under 2% on a mortgage. And they make you believe that that's a 30-year fixed and that it's free. They'll say no closing cost. And it really baffles me because to a consumer, closing cost is anything above what they owe on the home or anything above what they're borrowing to buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
They classify that as closing cost. Well, the technical term is escrows and certain fees are not closing costs. The main thing that's closing cost is an origination point. So they say, no, we don't have that. But what they kind of do on the backside in that nice little print that you were just talking about, they will put in almost every one of these, they would have the closing fees. They don't call them cost, they call them closing fees. And then they would have 3 to 4 points in a discount fee. So, and the average loan amount was $400,000. When you start looking at that 3 to 4 points on $400,000, just take 3 or 4 and multiply it times that first number,
mm-hmm.
and that's how much they're increasing the loan amount to get to that rate. So, while the advertisement in the flyer is legitimate, it has to be obtainable.
Right.
Where you find those numbers are either reading that fine print or look at the APR, because the APR should always be real close to your rate. That's when you know you're not paying a lot of extra just to get that rate.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, you know, they keep wanting to say, well, the rates are this and the rates are that. The rates are consistently in the twos. On a 30-year, you're going to get down real close to 2 on a 15-year.
Right.
That's pretty stable. If you don't want to pay a whole lot of fees, you want to pay fees, you can get them lower.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching a news report the other day, and they were talking about what people are concerned about. And, of course, all the COVID stuff, vaccine stuff was up there. But the only thing that outdid that was inflation.
Correct.
People are
starting to feel it, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy.
Absolutely.
So it's there. And it hasn't been this high in quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. So what's that going to do? I mean, putting your crystal ball in front of you, what do you think that's going to do with rates?
Well, the first thing on inflation, normally when inflation go up, rates go up. There's a different reason. What's causing inflation now, and the Feds have looked at this and they will consistently monitor this. If we have to go back to COVID as part of the issue with this, is because last year when the country shut down as COVID, there were still quite a few people that worked. There were some that didn't. But what happened during that time frame is there were production companies that stopped, things that stopped from getting built. And we see that quickly in the automotive or in the lumber industry. There's just, you can't get the parts for them.
Mm-hmm.
So when the market started to open up and they started letting everybody go back to work and not wear the mask and things got better, they couldn't catch up to the demand. Because imagine for a year, you can't go out to concerts, you don't go to movie theaters, you don't go bowling, you don't get to do things.
Right.
You're not going out to dinner as much. So what you're doing is you're saving money. So you're kind of hunkering down to get past all this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of pent-up demand that got released at the beginning of this year, and the economy just took off. Well, when that happens, for example, our church, we're building a new church, and what they thought would take 60 to 90 days to get the supplies, they're now at 9 to 11 months, which has caused a major problem because we had to move out of the church we were in.
And the budget probably changed a little bit, too.
The budget changed a whole lot. What they thought they were going to spend has gone up. So all of those costs come into play, and that time frame comes into play, and it's going to take a while for that to affect itself. So we're seeing that as being part of it. The short supply gives you higher demands, and that has a tendency to cause inflation. So as inflation goes up, people have less spendable cash to buy things and mm-hmm. to do things. Now, you can also look at the car market, as you can with housing. As we think in the housing market, the value of homes going up 50 to 80,000 a year is surprising. Well, the same thing's happening in the car market. Shorter supply, they can't sell new cars, people are buying used cars, raises those things. So because of that, that's where inflation is. But for August, inflation went down. It was up to 5.4, it's now gone down a little bit. The Feds are gonna hold off in rates to fight inflation because they don't see inflation as being a long-term effect of what's going on in the economy.
Okay.
Now, there are some things that can affect that, so they're staying pretty stable. I don't believe, with what I'm constantly reading from the Feds and their belief, they are not talking about adjusting the rate on mortgages. What we need to understand about mortgage rates, they are tied to Treasury bills, Treasuries. So in that effect, if the treasuries go up, rates will go up. What the federal government is doing is spending $120 billion a month buying treasuries to keep the price down, to control that market. And as long as they consistently do that, rates are not going to move.
Right.
So I don't see them moving a whole lot. I understand the economy has slowed a little bit now, kind of normal this time of year, going back to school, but I don't see the economy will continue to stay stable. People are starting to get worried about, go to the grocery store. Everything you buy now is going up.
I know.
I mean, when we talk about cars and we talk about lumber, yeah, that's one thing. Not everybody uses. Everybody gets food.
Sure.
And those food bills are up. Everybody gets gas.
Yep.
And gas prices are up.
Oh, my goodness.
We can point our finger wherever it's at. That's mm-hmm. where it's at. So that extra money is making it harder for people to get by, so they're going to start cutting back on the expenses. For the last year, we've had the extra money because we held off a year. Now we're going to start to see the true effect of it. As the supplies start to meet the demand, what's going to happen to prices? And I like the Feds agree that inflation will come down. Will it come down to 2% where they want it? No. Will it come down to something more reasonable? In my opinion, yes.
Kurt Rogers with us. Once again, the company is Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. Now, okay, you explained here a little bit that what affects mortgage rates. Is there anything else?
Yes, there is one other thing. Like I mentioned about treasuries, that's what affects the rates. What's happening is there's a tax bill out there that's $3.5 trillion. Or not a tax bill, it's a stimulus bill. That's passed but hasn't passed, so it's not going forward. The little shadow in this whole game that I'm seeing, and I guess that's the best way I can say it, how big that shadow is and what it's going to cause, we don't know, because if that gets passed, the stock market doesn't like higher taxes. And with this $3.5 trillion, there are some tax increases coming. Depending on how it finalizes and gets put out and where those tax increases are, because you can't tax gas anymore, you can't tax food anymore.
Right.
So where you, if you start taking more money away, this the extra money that people have, that's going to tighten them up, and that's going to slow the economy. And the stock market knows that. And that's where the stock market and the people that run those businesses will start, they'll start to lose money. When they do, they start shutting things down. So that's that shadow that can come in and affect things. And a lot of it is on that $3.5 trillion. It's actually five, but the $3.5 trillion that's out there, that can affect what's happening
right
in mortgage markets.
You know, trillion dollars, I was David C. Sean. We do a
financial
show.
Yes.
And it was C. Sean Financial, and he was talking yesterday, and he just said, to put this into perspective of what $1 trillion is, and he said this. He said, let's just take it in seconds. So a million seconds is 11.5 days. Okay? A billion seconds is 31.5 years. A trillion seconds is 31,710 years.
Correct.
A trillion.
Correct.
So, man.
Now you get the grasp of what that does. That's a stimulus package to go to people. Well, where's the government getting that back? Where they're turning around and getting it back from the people. And the funny thing, and I'm not here to pick sides, but the funny thing about when you raise taxes and you want to tax the wealthy because they want to do that, and I understand that they need to pay their fair share, but when you tax the wealthy, do you think they're going to give up their money? For these people that own these businesses, what do you think they're going to do? If the taxes go up, what are they going to do? They're going to raise the price of their goods.
Sure.
Like everybody does. They're still designed. They still got people to pay. They still got expenses like anybody else. They're not going to give up their money if they can just raise the prices because there's still people that need their product.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually comes down and it hurts the people that it's supposed to help with the stimulus. You're giving them more money, but you're taxing them more, so they lose it.
Right.
So how do we gain anything? It's that kind of controlled thing that we have to be careful of. So right now when people call, I actually had a guy call this morning talking about, you know, refinancing his home and what this is and what that is. And he's worried about tax inflation going up and higher taxes and the value of homes going down. I tried to explain to him, I said, that's a lot of the naysayers. The economy is still strong right now. And can it be affected? Yes.
Right.
But his concern, he said, well, we're going to have another 2008. And I don't see that happening. And there's concrete reasons why it's not happening. If you look back to 2008, when the market crashed, it was self-inflicted. It was caused because everybody wanted everybody in the new homes. They wanted them buying homes because that helps the economy. They spend more money. And what it caused was people to buy homes that didn't qualify. Back in 2008, 72% of the loans had a 680 credit score below. Today, 72% of the people have over 720. Completely different customer. While the credit score doesn't determine exactly who you are, it's a good indication on how you pay your bills and save money.
Right.
So I don't see that happening. The other thing that the government did back in 2008 that they learned that they didn't do this time was they didn't bail out the banks. They didn't take billions of dollars and give it to the banks this time. What they're doing is $120 billion for treasuries. Because that allows rates to stay low. That allows people to continue to move forward and buy their home. Gotcha. So there's some differences that have been put into place that are strategic. Also during that time frame, the federal government says that if you're a lender, you have to keep 5 to 10% of whatever you have on the books in the bank, almost like an insurance company. So if there's a problem, we don't have to bail you out. We don't have to worry about you because you've got that money sitting aside somewhere else to protect yourself. Those are three concrete reasons why when the market does start to adjust, I don't see it getting close to what it did in 2008.
Right. Real quick before our break, a question came in. All this stimulus money that people got, are they allowed, do they claim that as income and do the mortgage company, like when they're qualifying, does all that money that they got in, does that count as income form with that stimulus
money? If you're talking about unemployment money, no.
Okay.
Any money that they got because they weren't working? No. And you bring up a great point that many people have a hard time understanding. The lenders are required by federal regulation, in order to give you a loan, you have to prove stable income for 2 years with the likelihood of it continuing. Unemployment income is not one of those items that count. And if you have a gap in employment, now I have a customer that was laid off last April. She didn't get back to work until this February because of COVID and the company she worked for. That's a sustainable reason she was off because of the profession she's in. It's back up and running and she's good to go. She's got a 20-year history. They believe that again. They don't mm-hmm. think that's going to happen. But being unemployed for any period of time over 60, 90 days, the lenders are going to look at that pretty tough, especially if you're self-employed, because of these regulations that they have in place. The purpose of the regulation is not to put the housing market in risk of more foreclosures.
Right.
Because before, all you had to do, remember in 2008, sure. breathe on a mirror and you could buy a home.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that state and income, okay, you're fine, you can have a loan. That was forced by many people higher up. Mm-hmm. That wasn't. Mortgage brokers didn't come up with that plan. Trust me, we don't have the power to do that. That was done by banks and the federal government. They said, we want more people to own homes, well, this is how we're going to do it.
Sure. You're listening to Your Money Matters here on Haystack Help Radio. Kurt Rogers, our guest. If you got any questions, give us a call, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back. Now's the time to get into the outdoorsman's attic. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and you've heard me say many times, this is one of my favorite stores. The Outdoorsman's Attic's selection is incredible right now for all of your camping, hunting, and fishing needs. Just a few items to mention, all backpacks are 10% off, sleeping bags 20%, and Sitka gear 40% off of retail. They also have great deals on firearms and also tons of fishing gear down in the basement. And if your firearms need a little work or cleaning, see Scott the gunsmith and tell him we sent you. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's Colorado's premier outdoor consignment store for the outdoors. They're located at 2650 West Hamden. Tell them Scott sent you.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When it comes to customer service, D&D Tire takes it to the next level. Yes, you will receive great customer service from this family-owned company, but there is a difference when you add customer care. You see, at D&D Tire, they care about your safety and your car, and they understand mechanical problems, tire replacement, or flat tires never come at a convenient time. But at each of the D&D Tire locations, two in Aurora and one in Parker, you will find a courteous staff and technicians that have the knowledge and experience to take care of all of your automotive needs. Right now, buy four qualifying tires and rebates are up to $150 when using your Goodyear credit card, subject to credit approval. And terms and conditions apply. D&D Tire Service, your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. Check them out at dndtireservice.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio, our special edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, Kurt's number is 720-895-0500. So, Kurt, with all the things with COVID and layoffs and job loss, what about foreclosures and all? Has that happened much?
Well, you were mentioning before the break about the unemployment people were receiving and the extra $600. That's kind of held back. The United States is at the highest job openings ever in their history.
Mm-hmm.
and they're not being filled. Our unemployment rate is around 5 to 5.4%. That's actually gone down a little bit. And a lot of people speculated that when we stop giving the money out, that everybody go back to work. There's a funny thing happening there. It's not happening because there's people still don't want to go back to work,
sure.
Which I can't answer the question of what are they doing. I have no idea about that. But for those people that were able to be in forbearance and not make payments on their home, they're now being forced to do that. I mean, we've tried to kick that can down the road for a while. We did it with renters. The landlords couldn't move them. And all of that stuff has started to change. So, again, I'll bring them up, the naysayers, the reason that they want to sell their name and they sell what their advertising is, that this is what's going to happen. The numbers, when you look at it, don't tend that way. Mm-hmm. When you look at a foreclosure will take anywhere from 6 months to maybe a year and a half to happen. So if they have been in forbearance for a year and not making payments, they're going to come out now, and they don't have to pay all that money to get out of forbearance. They can come out and have it put at the rears. They now have to start making payments, and they may make one, they may make two, and then miss one, then miss a second. So they're in this thing 2-3 months before they decide, okay, I can't afford to live here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember, we're going to go back to March of last year. What was their house worth? Let's say $400,000. What's their house worth now? $500,000? What do they owe from $400,000 if they didn't make a payment? They probably owed three. Well, the house worth five. There ain't a person out there that I know that is not going to be able to make their payments and try to live in that house for maybe 18 months and not make a payment versus selling it and making $100,000 to $200,000 cash.
Sure.
They're going to sell the home. So what that's going to do as that market starts to change is those people are going to put those homes on the market. They're going to relieve some of the demand that's out there, and they're going to be able to sell and walk away and go back into renting or maybe buy a less expensive property. So those numbers that they're saying that foreclosure is going to go up to 10%, I don't see how that happens because it's not the same. Everybody wants to go back to 2008. We're not there.
Mm-hmm.
The story is completely different. That happened overnight. Nobody was expecting it. They were doing loans to 115% of value. We're not even close to those numbers. With the equity that people have in it, now they're going to say, okay, I can sell the house, get some cash, and move forward.
Gotcha.
One of the tragic things that I'm seeing now is I've had lots of customers call in, and there's many of them, for different reasons, as they're coming out, are getting divorced in this same process. Throws a different wrench into the game. They might not want to sell, but they have to sell because neither one of them can afford to buy the place mm-hmm. on their own. And I have several of those now. So COVID's caused some other side effects to where we're going to start seeing more homes on the market because of the forbearance is over. People have to make a decision. And if they can't afford the house anymore, they can sell it and make money. Because between 2008 and 2010, there were 7 million people foreclosed. That ain't the case now. We're not even close to that.
Yeah. So what are you seeing as far as, matter of fact, the home went up right next door to us for sale. And for sale sign's been there for 3 days now. It kind of shocked me because I figured it would go pretty quick. But what are we seeing right now as far as the number of showings you're hearing from realtors? I mean, is it really still as hectic as it was and as many offers?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's slowed. But, again, there's people out there saying, well, the housing market's slow, you got to sell your house now. Well, yes and no. It'd be nice to sell it now. Is the market going to continue to rise at 7 to 10%? No, I don't see that finishing the year out at those numbers because right now values are continuing to go up. But the number of people looking at home, the number of offers on homes has declined, but there's still an intensity on it. One of the If your home needs no improvement, there was a survey done, and the mass majority, 84% of the people, would walk away from a home if it needed work, if it didn't have certain upgrades. They wouldn't even look at the home. At that point, if it had those things, then they would, depending on where it was at, they'd make bids on it and they'd go after it. Mm-hmm. That's still happening.
Okay.
Now, you might not get 12 people fighting for home, but you're going to get 3 to 5 people fighting for home.
Right.
But this is normal for this time of year. from as you go through summer, the market starts to slow down. People don't buy as many homes. They don't list as many homes. They don't move as much in that time, especially because of COVID. Last year, we couldn't go out and travel. Last year, we couldn't go do things. This year, we can. So if somebody's thinking of moving, they didn't do that in June, July, and August. So all that market kind of slowed down. Some of the demand caught up to it. Now it's starting to pick back up again. We're still getting competition on those. That's number one. Number two, the average day of a house on the market prior to June was 14 days. The average day of a house on the market today is 24. So we added 10 days and we're saying we have a slowdown? Well, I mean, if you look at it from a percentage point of view, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it from a healthy buyer-seller's market, you want homes on the market 50 to 60 days. So we're not even close to that. There's still not enough homes out there that are filling the demand, and that's going to continue to happen. If you, the other reason that, that the demand is so high, and there's several, in 2020, if you bought a home for $510,000, your payment on that home at that time with that rate was $1,706. Your payment on that home today is $1,685. You're able to buy more home for less money. So that's taken people out. Again, let's go back and look at what happened in COVID. Right. People couldn't move. They just hunkered down. And they realized after staying at home with family, they said, okay, we need a bigger house. We need rooms in farther apart. We need things. It didn't fit their family as well as they thought, because before they were always out doing things and just settling. Now they want different homes. They want it to be able to be an office. They want to be able to do things there. They might want to work from home instead of going out. So there's a demand for people to get out and do things that we didn't have before. So that's why everything pushed. Mm-hmm. That's starting to be met. So I do not see the demand. There's other reasons why.
Right. Are you seeing appraisals meeting the price that customers are asking for their home?
It's funny you brought that up. I've had several conversations in the last couple of days with lenders and appraisers. An appraiser is required by law to look at what's called comps. A comp is a home within a half a mile from the house that you're trying to buy, and a comp is has been sold within the last 6 months and has the same square footage or model site, ranch to ranch, tri-level to tri-level. If your house is 2,500 square feet, they can go 10, 15% either way. Those are the three basic fundamentals that the requirements are. So when they're looking at your house, conversation this morning, house, you know, a year ago sold for 520, or in January sold for 520, and these people are now asking 620, you're thinking, well, the appraisal's not going to reach there, but that's not the case, because there might be a house that is a model match that sold for 600 or 605 just a month ago. And then there was one a month before that sold for 590. You can now justify that higher price because you got comps leading in that direction.
Okay.
So yes, you can, even though it's $100,000, it can move. But if there's no comps that are selling in the neighborhood, then all of a sudden you got to start going back older to find those homes that can match up. And you can speculate on future value, but you can't speculate on total future value.
Right.
Now, what causes the other part of the problem is many people believe, because of what they hear all the time, that they can continue to ask higher and higher prices. Like, well, my neighbor just sold his for $690. Mine's nicer. I got a basement finished. Mine's got to be worth $720. Well, he might have pushed the envelope and got a cash buyer. That doesn't mean your house is worth $690. One house doesn't justify the value of yours.
Right.
So that's where some of the friction is going. So, yeah, there's still a battle on with that, because the appraisers are independent. They have to meet certain requirements. Otherwise, they lose their license, and they're not willing to do that in this market.
Yeah, because, I mean, this was really hurting people, and especially maybe first-time homebuyers, where, you know, they were having to come up with $50,000, $100,000 or something to even get in the game.
They called that appraisal gap. And when we come back on that after the next break, we can kind of get into that, because that was a major issue. Appraisal gap was, if the house sold for $6,000 and it appraised for $525,000, you had to come up with the $80,000 plus the down payment.
Right.
Well, that took a lot of people out of the game. So there were many people buying them, which, again, forced the market. Now, all of a sudden, you got a house at 520 and somebody's paying 600. What's the value of the house next door? I mean, how do you adjust? Do you have two or three of those in the neighborhood? You got to start looking at the value maybe being higher than what you think it is.
Sure.
And then you have certain appraisals that we actually had an appraiser do, one of our friends that we both know. He says, he told the customer, I don't think that the value of these homes is going up as much. And his appraisal came in $200,000 light compared to another one. Same house. Because you had to get two appraisers over $1 million. His house, he appraised it for $200,000 less because he didn't think the value was what the market was demanding. And he justified it with older appraisers.
Sheesh.
So, yeah, you run across that, and that's hard to combat.
Yeah, no doubt. Kurt Rogers, I guess, 720-895-0500. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney, and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you're just joining us, Kurt Rogers with us in studio. 720-895-0500 is the number for Kurt. And hey, if he can help you out, he will be glad to on any of your mortgage needs, questions, reverse mortgages, refinancing, whatever. They can help you out. So, Kurt, what are we seeing with first-time home buyers? Is that a hot market right now?
First-time home buyers actually are 33% of the market.
Really?
But, wow. Which is surprising.
Sure.
When you start dealing with appraisal gap.
No doubt.
Because most first-time home buyers don't have appraisal gap. Some of that business is a child buying a house for the first time, and mom or dad co-sign it, so they can add some money to the deal. They're non-occupying co-borrowers, and you can do that on a first-time home buyer. So that's part of the reasons. But besides the first-time home buyer, there's also FHA buyers, there's also low-down payment buyers, and there's also VA buyers. Because of the appraisal gap, many of these buyers have had to sit back on the sidelines and wait for the market to settle. And I've been on the show before with you on this. I've been talking, those folks are now starting to get into the game. Mm-hmm. I knew they would get there. I have several that were just waiting for them to find homes now. One finally found one yesterday, and there was no appraisal gap. Works perfect for them. So the folks that don't have the extra cash to bring for the appraisal gap are these folks. The ones that have been hurt the most are VA.
Okay.
Because a VA person can put money down or not put money down. On a VA, you can get 100% loan to value. And many veterans would want to do that, not tie up their cash. Mm-hmm. But even if they had the cash to pay for the appraisal gap, VA would not do the loan. So if the house appraised for $550 and you wanted to offer $600, VA would not let you buy it. They wouldn't let you do a VA loan. You'd have to go conventional and pay the $50,000 plus down payment. So many of those folks haven't gone that way. When you deal with first-time home buyer programs called Home Ready and Home Possible, they allow you to put 3% down, and you can do that with no mortgage insurance. So all of a sudden now you've got folks that actually can qualify. They make good money, got stable jobs. They're tired of renting, and they now want to buy, but they didn't have the appraisal gap. Those folks are starting to come back into the marketplace. Okay. 61% of homes purchased last year were people between the age of 30 and 39. We believe that's going to increase now because so many people are tired of renting. Because when you rent, you have no control. When you rent, they can raise your rent. When you own, they can't. Mm-hmm. When you own, you're building equity. When you own, you're putting money in the bank every time you make a payment.
Sure.
They're starting to learn that, and we're starting to see them in the marketplace. But on FHA, many of those folks couldn't buy, A, because they didn't have the appraisal gap, B, because many of the listing agents that were trying to sell the home would exclude the option of selling the home as an FHA loan or a VA loan, mm-hmm. because those have higher restrictions on the house. The house has to pass a little bit tougher inspection, meaning which you can't have cracked windows. They have to be fixed, meaning which you can't have water spots in the ceiling, meaning which that if you've got a deck and the paint's chipping on it, it has to be repainted. So the realtors would guide the seller away from that because they did what? They're getting appraisal gap. They don't have to do any changes. They're going to sell the home. Understand why. But that's starting to change back and lean more towards the first-time home buyer. That is one of the main reasons I believe for the rest of the year the market's going to stay 24 to 35 days supply. These folks are going to come out and they're going to start buying homes.
Right.
So we're going to continue to move forward.
Okay. Now, let's go back to that real quick because a lot of people may not know, but you said non-occupying co-borrower. So,
yes.
So a young couple, whatever, can get into a house, have mom or dad or whatever signed. And does it have to be a relative?
Has to be. Mother, here's okay. what I normally tell them. Mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, and or grandparent can okay. co-sign for you. They don't have to live there. As long as your credit score doesn't hurt you, their income comes into the game to help you to qualify.
That's pretty cool.
I've done that for so many clients over the years that want to take their kid to college. When a kid goes to college, instead of, you know, having them rent a place, they'll go buy a townhome. The kid will have a job, make the payments, and then when the kid gets out of college, they move, and the kid sells, and they turn it into a rental to the next student that's coming in, and the kid gets the credit for it. So it's a great way to get somebody moving forward on how to own passive income through rental property. Mm-hmm. I have one client had three kids. He owned three of those. Now he has three rentals. And it's a legitimate system that you just walk down the line.
Right.
So, yeah, it can be done a lot.
Okay, cool.
Most people are not aware of that feature.
Right, no doubt. All right, now, you talked about the VA loans and stuff. Do you still find a lot of times there are veterans that do not take advantage
yes.
of these great benefits?
Yes. One of the mandatory questions I always ask when I'm talking with a client is either buyer ever been in the military and a veteran? Because I will lean to that product first because it's one of the best products
sure.
out there. Now, there's times it's not the best product. I have people that have come to me say, I'm a veteran, I want to do the loan. I said, great. Do you receive any disability? And they'll say, no. Have you had a VA before? They'll say yes. What VA does is they have what they call as an upfront funding fee. And on a second use, that funding fee is rather large. So on a roughly $300,000 house, it's $10,000 that you have to finance into the deal.
Okay.
So that makes the payments higher. Sometimes that's better to go conventional than it is VA. But one of the things VA has just changed, they used to go to 90% cash out only. Now they go to 100% cash out. So if you own a house and you want to do a VA and you have some form of disability, example, my brother broke the tip of his finger playing volleyball in NAM. Well, he gets $110 a month. So he doesn't have to pay the funding fee. So he can do a VA and go to 100%. So if your house has moved from $400,000 to $500,000, you can get a loan for $500,000 at some of the lowest rates in the world. They're amazing. There's no monthly mortgage insurance, and you're good to go, as long as you qualify, your eligibility's there. And you can actually have two homes, VA.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy them both at the same time, but you can actually have two. So VA is a great loan to do a lot of different things. And I'm glad you asked the question, because many veterans don't understand the ability.
Right.
You can buy duplexes and fourplexes with VAs, which is another tremendous benefit. And they don't stop at $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. They go to $1.5 million. So you have a lot of options. If you have the income to make all this work, you have a lot of options with a VA loan to keep some of your cash and own property. Man. Many of them don't know that.
Wow. That's why we're here.
That's why
we're here. Bring education. All right. Now, understand you've got a new doctor program.
I'm kind of excited about this program. I have lots of doctors that I deal with, but this is a brand new program that came out with one of my lenders, and they will do doctors, whether you can still be, you've not graduated, you could be in what they call medical residency. If you're in any of those or you're already a doctor, they will go up to 100%, up to $750,000. They'll go up to 95% on $850,000. No mortgage insurance. That's almost like a VA loan. It's an amazing feature. And again, like I said, you could have graduated college and have a letter of intent to start in 3 months. They will approve you and let you buy the home as long as your start date is within 3 months of your close date. You don't even have to be working. So that's great for doctors who want to start out.
Sure.
If they, you know, they're out and they want to buy a home to get going, they can do that. They have a letter of intent that says, I'm going to make X before they receive one penny of that. They could be approved and move into a home. Wow. This is just a great program. It works for single-family homes, townhomes, condos, two-unit properties. You can buy a two-unit property, live in one side as a primary, rent out the other side, and start that process like I just talked about. There's so many ways to make that work. And I think this lender is trying to pay back, you know, all these folks that have helped and worked so hard.
Sure.
It's just a great program.
Right. You know, you think a doctor maybe coming out, maybe has a lot of loans, student loan stuff, and medical things that they owe. Does that hurt? The student loan things just is general
and
hurt people?
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't mention it. If they have student loans and there is a payment on their credit report, they will count that payment only. If their student loan is because they just came out of college and it's deferred,
mm-hmm.
they don't count any payment. Now, most doctors, when they first get out, they'll defer that payment 6 months to a year to 2 years.
Sure.
The lender's not even going to count those payments against you. If you've been out for a while and you want to do a refinance and you have student debt and you've deferred and there's no payment, at that point, they're going to count 0.5% of what that balance is. So on a $20,000 debt, it's $50 a month.
Right.
They'll count that against you for debt-to-income ratios. But student loans have almost been washed away in this doctor program because they understand the burden that you bring with you. They'd rather get you in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Home ownership helps the economy so much. Because of everything that you do, you're more responsible.
Yeah.
You're paying your bills. You're moving forward. That's the design of it. It works well. So, yeah, that's another great feature of this.
Kurt Rogers, our guest. Affordable Interest Mortgage is the company. You've got any mortgage needs, you can tell. This man knows what he's talking about, and that is why they are our only mortgage company here on Haystack Help Radio. 720-895-0500. We're going to take our last break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, trial tested, trial ready. In civil cases such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. A few more minutes here with our guest, Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. And Kurt, when we look at just all that's going on, and you mentioned, boy, you know, younger people, I can't believe 30 to 39 years of age, you said it was
61% of the people. 61%. That's for this year, from January 1st to August, 61% of the people are 30 to 39. I think that's a great number.
Sure.
Because of what's happening in rents.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's wonderful to see that they're getting into homes and moving forward with it because they'll understand the value of it over time and how it helps them.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So when you look at do you see that age group continuing to push this out
of
the market?
Yes, it's the millennials at the back end. And it's the Z age group, whatever they do with them. It's there at the front end, and I think that will continue. One of the other things we're seeing that 17% of the people that are buying are males, females, and 9% are single males. So single females are outdoing the single males. They're owning homes much quicker in that case. But a surprising number when I did some research on this was corporations are buying homes. And when you start thinking about that, you're thinking, well, yeah, how many are they buying? Well, they went into one little town in Virginia, and they bought. They were given these people that will do this. They were given $20 million in cashier's checks, and they went out and bought 700 homes in the entire town. They just bought it up, and what they're doing with them is they're controlling the market. They're buying the homes, converting them to rentals. And because they buy so many, they're raising the prices. If you don't like it, you got to move to one of theirs because they own so many of them.
Gotcha.
And I'm talking about people like Warren Buffett, a guy named B.W. Hughes, Carlyle Group. There's a Blackstone Group. There's so many of them that are out there. You'd be surprised at the percentage of homes that they own in the United States. And there was concern about that is if they keep doing it, they're going to take away the option of people being able to have a home. Now, think of the effect of that. If corporations are owning more homes, that's less people buying homes and doing improvements and making it larger and taking the money out to pay off their bills. That controls the flow of money. So there's talk that they got to start looking about what these folks are doing to the market because they're driving the market up. Now, they're not buying the same house, for example, that you and I go out. They're buying these homes that are foreclosures. They're just going in and buying them. They're just sucking them up because they know they can turn them into a profit. And they'll keep doing it. because their rate of return on it is much stronger than it is if they put it somewhere else.
Right.
So that's a big share of what's going on now, which was a surprise to me.
Sure. As far as investment type property, real quick, and then I can't let you get out of here without talking about your favorite loan. But as far as investment property, is the way the market is now still a good time for investment property, or is it best to hold off?
You have to be a little more selective, but yes. When you're looking at an investment property, it's the same way as looking at a stock. If I invest X, what's my monthly rate of return, or what's my 5-year or 10-year long-term rate of return on that? Average price of a home goes up 4.2% every 10 years, has for the last 70 years. I'll say it again, 4.2% every 10 years for the last 70 years. Okay. So $100,000 house makes and keeps going. It doesn't change. That's the way it works. So if you're willing to withstand that, we have clients that own, 10 homes free and clear, and they're making $1,800 a month. That's nice passive income. Because when the tenant pays it, they're paying your equity. Mm-hmm. They're paying appreciation. They're paying all of it. You pay nothing. You just get the rewards at the end. Now, there's times you got to spend money.
Sure.
But it's still much better off. So, yes, they are. But I have many clients, and here's where different loans come into play, that are using their current situation to get prepared for homes in the future if the value goes down and people have to move. Because that's going to happen. That always happens when the value goes down, people move. Mm-hmm. They, like I said, the foreclosures. They don't want to go into foreclosures to sell the homes. So those values, depending on how many, will come down. So they can reach right out there and they can grab those. And there's a way to put yourself in position to be ready for that when it happens. It could be 6 months, could be a year, but it costs you no money now to have those funds available to be able to be ready for that when it happens.
Gotcha. All right. A few minutes left here. Let's talk about the asset manager loan. And I realize we talk about it a lot, but let's act like it's brand new, even though it's not, and just kind of give us some of the details on that for folks.
The asset manager is actually becoming extremely popular. More people are understanding it. More people are doing it. Many of the clients that I'm seeing talking to now for the first time, I've heard about this loan for years. Hmm. I understand here's how it works.
Okay.
And the simplest thing about the loan is it's a simple interest loan versus a standard 30-year fixed mortgage. It's not a compound. It's not that type of loan. What simple interest means is as your payoff goes down, your payment goes down. So as your payment goes down, you are required to pay less interest on the home, and you own the home faster. If you're making a payment of, let's say, $2,500 a month on a mortgage, the payment of that $2,500 you're paying, that could pay off this home with the asset manager because it's simple mortgage, pay it off in 12 years. It doesn't mean your payment goes down and you're going to lower your payment. You continue to pay the same $2,500 as you would on a 30-year fixed.
Right.
But you now own it in 12 years. So all of a sudden you start to realize that my effective interest rate on this thing's down in the low twos because I'm not paying a lot of interest to own the home. The other benefit of this loan is as you pay it down, let's say your loan amount originally was $400,000. As you pay it down, you might pay it down to $200,000. Now you have a line of credit for $200,000, and you don't have to go somewhere to get it. You don't have to reapply. You don't have to pay more expense. That money is readily available. All you have to do is write a check. So should you want to do a home improvement, you don't need me again.
Gotcha.
I'm not trying to drive myself out of business, but you don't need me. You have built it into your system. Should you get laid off and you can't make your payment, now all of a sudden you have $200,000 in equity. You can make your payments to sustain a shortfall, to sustain a problem in the economy to get you by. You still make your payments on your house, mm-hmm. but you don't pay it off in 12 years. You pay it off in 18. And because you have this loan, you can face those things as they come up much quicker. Or you need to have an emergency medical operation for one of your children. The money's sitting right here. You don't have to take it out of your 401k. It's all inside the loan.
Right.
And all you have to do is get approved once, and that money's available. And then once you pay it off, you quit putting money in it, take that $2,500 a month and go put it somewhere else. Or if you want to buy an investment property and you got $200,000 in equity like I just talked about,
mm-hmm.
you see that opportunity comes up, you can reach right out and say, okay, this is a good deal for me. I'm going to buy this.
Sure. What's the hardest thing as you sit across the desk from people to get them to understand this? What's the hardest couple of things for them to really grasp until they – then you can see the light comes on?
When they start thinking and they – most people don't quite understand how simple interests work. And I have a spreadsheet, and I'd be more than happy to go over it with anybody. But as you see the numbers work, you're like, that doesn't make sense to me. My payment system, how am I paying the house off faster if I'm paying less? I said, you're not paying less. You're paying the same as you were, but you're leaving the money in the bank. Because with the asset manager – it comes with like a savings feature. Currently, if you put in $10,000 into a savings account, you're going to make 1%. Well, with this one, you're going to save 4%. What that means is when you put in $10,000 into this account, because it's simple interest, it drives your payoff down, your payment goes down $32. And all you did was move the money. You didn't spend it. You just moved it. You still have access to it, but you cut your payment down, which now I have an extra $32 a month going to principal. That concept they struggle with. Why? Because we've not been taught that. We've not been taught how simple interest works right for me instead of for the banks.
Yeah.
You will pay less interest to own your home faster without changing one penny of your spending habits. I can show you over and over, and I don't care if your rate's 2.375. I can still do it. It ain't about rate. It's about getting paid on the money that you have that's not paying you, and how that money effectually lowers your payoff, lowers your payment, and you pay less money to the bank. That's the hardest thing people have to understand.
Wow. Your disclosure, sir.
7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, NMLS 298191. Our NMLS for Arizona, and we are licensed in Arizona, is 212-8571. We are regulated by DORA, and we are an equal credit lender. You can call us anytime, 720-895-0500. I won't answer that on Sundays.
Okay.
But I answer the rest of the
time. And people can come and see you in your offices over off Quebec and Arapahoe area. Or you can do the – are you doing some Zoom stuff?
I do a lot of Zooms. People will call and show me the spreadsheet. Show me how this works. I get on it. I show it to them. Give them time to think about it. Yeah. We do a lot of that. Whatever's convenient. You want me to come see you? Not a problem.
All right. 720-895-0500. Kurt, as always, thank you very much, sir. Thank you for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. Once again, it's affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.